Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 16th of January, 2012, the day the nation observes the birthday of slain civil rights leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Hope you had a great weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners on the Voice Network, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Also, three venues for you to listen to the program anytime: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We begin with our Monday political face-off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. 30 minutes past the hour, we will talk with the former First Lady of Tucson, Beth Walkup, about the Imagine Greater Tucson organization and the survey aimed at finding out how area residents would like to see our region grow. Then we will close out the show with community leader Ray Clark talking about King Day. We encourage you to be part of the conversation, calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea, a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, you can always contact us. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring one of our two teams of commentators. This week, it's Bruce Ash, the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, the current vice chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Paul and Bruce, hope you're doing well on this King Day.
Yeah, doing great.
Well, according to the Arizona Republic front page story, Bruce Ash, Arizona is missing the boat. Last year, the state could have collected $10 billion. That's an amount greater than the entire state budget if it had removed dozens of exemptions to the state's sales tax. Why are we not on board with this?
Well, I think what we should be on board with is additional spending cuts and streamlining government. Nobody's really, I think, in the mood today for adding more taxes to anybody's life. Adding taxes for services wreaks havoc on people with limited incomes, and it also makes Arizona businesses, in some cases, uncompetitive with other areas of the country.
What do you think, Paul?
Well, I think we should really look at this because one, Bruce just mentioned competition in the free market. We have situations where some companies and industries have created loopholes for themselves using high-paid lobbyists. For example, I pay a sales tax on my cable TV, but satellite TV you don't pay sales tax on. That creates an uncompetitive situation in a free market system. I don't understand why we're not paying sales tax on satellite TV as well. Pipes, for example, there's a certain anything under 4-inch pipes gets a sales tax. Anything above gets exempted from it. And the reason that is frankly, the copper industry uses big pipes. And they had a lot of power in the state once upon a time, and they made sure that was an exemption to sales tax. I think a sales tax – I frankly don't like sales tax as much as income tax because it's a regressive tax instead of a progressive tax. But if you exempt food and groceries, which is kind of a normal thing for sales tax, that kind of eliminates that problem a little bit. But everything else, services included, us lawyers don't get taxed when we charge our customers. We don't do a sales tax. Why are services exempt? Because we're now a heavily service-oriented industry. So I think this is a great way to, one, broaden the base of taxes, reduce the tax rates, and still raise some more money to replace a lot of the cuts that have taken place in our schools and our universities, which are really important for our economic future.
Well, I will submit to you that Paul Eckerstrom's colleagues in the legal industry are probably the strongest lobbyers
against
sales taxes.
Not right.
on the service industry, them being one, accountants as well, things like advertising services. I mean, there's a lot of interest abound that want to keep sales taxes from being charged on their services, the services that are charged to their clients. Now, you broaden the base, and then you become, hurtful to lower income families, and that's where sort of the problem is. I would disagree that this should be income based or income tax based. We're probably better off though spreading this out a bit across the entire economy if you had to do it at all. The first thing that we ought to be doing though is continuing to look at the scope and size of government and trying to figure out where we can continue to make those cuts. There are still plenty of places that have never been touched.
I have to say something. We have cut education in the state drastically over the last 20 years as we cut our income tax. We cut the income tax to one-third of what it was in 1990, and this was Arizona. It was never high in the first place. And then we never replaced that. So what we did was we cut our schools, cut road maintenance and construction. We cut we've cut every level of government. But for example,
in
1986, it cost less than $1,000 tuition fees to go to the University of Arizona. Now it's $10,000. We're pricing middle class kids out of being able to go to college. We need some of those cuts replaced, actually, to have a healthy, vibrant economy for the future. But we could do this by broadening the base, and you could replace that money, and at the same time, you could also lower the sales tax rates over the overall as well. I think it's a great way of dealing with what I think is a structural deficit in our state
budget. But Bruce, you say there's still plenty of room to cut.
Sure. We've made very few real structural cuts within the budget as it goes to regulatory agencies and some of the duplicative agencies with all of their various influences they have here in Arizona. We also haven't looked at making Medicaid and SCHIP and lower income families look at different deductibles and different copays, and these are areas that we ought to be looking at before we start playing around with sales taxes that are going to have, I think, some unintended consequences that nobody's going to be very happy with at the end of the day.
Look, pure and simple. We cut taxes for 20 years in this state, and we've been cutting services
and we haven't
state
cut
government
them
done for 20 years in this state. And at some point, we are at a breaking point in our education system. We are a breaking point in our infrastructure and transportation system. And if we don't do something about that, we are going to be a second-class economy in the world economy in this state. And I don't want to see that happen. I want to be able to ensure our kids get great education so they can compete. And the only way you do that is with money. And we've been cutting so badly over the last 20 years that our education system is the worst in the country in terms of per pupil funding. It's time to replenish that and at the same time reduce the sales tax. If you broaden the base, you could reduce sales tax, get the money, and then broaden the base. It just means everybody is in play.
In Paul Eckerson's world and in the world of the Democrat Party, there is not enough taxes that can be collected to take care
it's
of all of the services and all of the areas of government and intrusions into one's personal life and into businesses that they want to have.
No. Look at Bruce. The best spent dollar in government is education. It brings back tenfold economic benefits down the road.
We all know your position on education,
and
agree.
We've been cutting
there's
it
not
terribly for
taxes,
the last 20 years.
There's not enough taxes that you can collect to fit a perfect Paul Eckerstrom or Democrat world.
Give me the tax base we had in 1990, which was low. This state has always been a low tax state. Give me that base and replenish our schools and our universities, and then I will be happy. Period. I don't want to go back something that wasn't ever been. I just want to go back to where we used to be in the 80s.
Had Governor Napolitano not created the entitlement state that she created during her tenure as governor, perhaps
That's
we could.
That's not true. That's not true.
Well, she grew the budget. She grew the budget from about $5.5 billion to approximately $11 billion in that period of time. And a lot of that were on entitlements.
Did you notice how fast Arizona was growing? There was more people here. So you need to build more roads. You need to build more schools. It's just a matter of each person now pitching in their fair share to make sure that we can do that.
You said, Bruce, we haven't cut taxes enough. Where would you keep cutting?
I would look at personal property tax. I would look at state income tax. There's a lot of different areas to look at in terms of cutting taxes and actually growing the economy as a result.
Would it grow the economy by
sure,
doing
because
that?
Because if we had a tax base here, like in Florida or Nevada, you would find an influx of industry who would come into the state as we've never seen before.
You know, Nevada, you can't even compare us because they have a high tax on the casinos and the hotels where people from around the country come in and pay those taxes for them. We have a different dynamic here. And the plain fact of the matter is, look it, we have one-third the income tax we had in 1990. You want to cut that more?
Yes,
I don't understand it. We were once 26th in funding of schools in this state back in the mid-80s, among all the other states. We are now dead last because of those cuts. That's a direct correlation.
You keep throwing that figure around, Paul. But it wasn't accurate the first time you said it. It's still not accurate today.
Where is it not accurate? Where is it not accurate?
It's just not an accurate number.
I paid $1,000 in 1986 for tuition and fees at the University of Arizona. Now it's $10,000.
Yeah. And a lot of now that, it's 10. I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because a lot of that has been driven by the federal government, who's willing to give grants and aid as well as provide loans to college students.
No.
And as those tuitions have grown, the government is providing their loans to students, and this has become a big business for a lot of your Democrat Wall Street friends.
Well, Wall Street friends, Democratic Wall Street friends.
Yeah, remember, Ackerstrom, your guys are the guys that run Wall Street.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
Why don't we take a break right here, 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is to the right of me. And Paul Ackerstrom is studio left on the
and left as well
on the Monday Political Face Off on this King Day. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Welcome back. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Since 1995, this family-owned business has been specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging service, and hanging systems. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here, and Paul Eckerstrom. Bruce Ash has been saying, well, we haven't cut taxes enough. Paul Eckerstrom has been saying the tax cuts have certainly hurt education over the last 20 years. Is that pretty much your position?
That's my position. I would like to explore being able to broaden the tax base in the sales tax. If we're not going to recoup the income taxes that we've lost over those years, let's at least broaden the tax base in terms of sales taxes to recoup some of that funding and at the same time reduce what is a fairly high sales tax that hits certain industries disproportionately because others have been exempted.
You said during the break about our education system, Bruce Ash, right now we're in kind of a feel-good education system here in Arizona.
There certainly has not been enough emphasis placed on the fundamentals, preparing children for their life after high school. Not enough emphasis on getting high school graduations up to their highest possible level, preparing kids for jobs who are sorely not able to provide a great workforce here in Arizona at the present time. And when you do feel-good studies, when your social advancement is the name of the day, when you're not giving teachers the support that they need to have to make sure the kids are learning in the classroom, you're going to have the problems that we've had, especially the ones that we've seen in Tucson Unified School District. And I have to commend the newly reformed Tucson Unified School District for making the decisions that they did last week in ending ethnic studies within TUSD. I think that's a start in the right direction.
Look, I think Bruce and I agree on one thing, is that we need to direct money directly to the classroom. But I'm going to say it straight out. You get what you pay for. And we haven't been paying for schools since the 80s. When I went through the public schools, they were good. When I went to the University of Arizona, I could afford it. And as a result, I got a good education. The problem now is if class sizes are going up because of these cuts. We're losing good teachers because they can't support a family on the salaries that they make. If you want – those are the two main things. If you want good schools and you want a good – your kids getting a good education, you need to pay for it. And there's got to be a way to find a fair mechanism in our society and our state to tax on a fair basis to pay for what I think is vital to our economic future. You know, the plain fact of the matter is everybody knows in you go buy something, you get what you pay for. If you don't want quality education in this state, then you don't pay for it. But if you do, we have to all buckle down and pitch in and pay for it.
Paul and Bill, we've been arguing about aid to education, public money to education, when Paul was in school and before him when I was in school and probably when my mother was a graduate from Amphitheater High School in 1949. This is not a new topic in Arizona. It goes back, you know, at least 60 years or more, and it's in almost every state here in America. There is fundamental reform that's needed in education. as well as in other areas of government as well. Government is not the answer. More taxes are not the answer. But fundamental changes so that children have a chance to succeed should be what we're looking at.
What Bruce is saying is nice rhetoric, but it's voodoo education. Because pure and simple, if you want a good math teacher to stay in math and teaching, you pay him what he could make in the private sector as an engineer.
And I'm in total agreement with you.
All right.
Let's go now to Paul on the Buckmaster Show live line. Paul, you're on with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. I wish that you'd spend more time talking to local businessmen about the problems that they're having, that we're having, because I've got several businesses here, that we're having with these high school kids that try to get jobs with us and just cannot do the work at all. Now, all we do is talk to these unions and politicians guys, and they've probably never held a business in their life, and I don't think they know even what they're talking about.
Okay, Paul, thank you.
Well, let me address that.
Okay,
this is a direct symptom of what we've done to our schools over the last 20 years. And I think that if we want good people out there, so we have a good workforce, so we can attract good businesses to the state, we need to educate our kids. And remember, in our Constitution, the Arizona Constitution, college education should be as free as possible. You shouldn't have to go to college and come out with a $100,000, $200,000 debt that you're going to have to pay off over your lifetime. And at the same time,
we shouldn't
be dead last in the country in funding, per pupil funding of our schools.
Well, if we want good, Paul.
Well, it like I said, you get what you pay for. And the man just called and said he can't get good workers because they're not being produced.
He can't get good workers.
Well, it's for exactly the same reasons that I've been arguing, and Paul seems to be oblivious. We need to have – I agree with Paul. We need to have qualified teachers in the classroom, and we need to pay them for their work properly and incentivize them for their success. What we need to eliminate is government on top of all of the other government that we have that clogs up education just like it clogs up everything else we do. And there's different ways of providing aid to education here in Arizona that we're just simply not accepting and not willing to do. And until we're willing to get government off of the teachers' back and really to help the kids, we're not going to solve our problems.
I don't disagree. We can streamline all we want, but when you basically impoverish the schools by just cutting funding 20 years in a row to our schools and our universities, there's going to be an effect. And we can maybe find some middle ground where you can find how we can streamline, but we're still going to need more money. We're going to need money.
The Department of Education during the Bush years went up threefold, okay? Threefold U.S. government aid to states just like Arizona. Okay, you have to ask the question, how are we spending our money in education? Are we utilizing assets the right way? Are we planning for future in the right way? And I would submit to you that we simply have not been doing that very well in Arizona.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to make fundamental changes.
Our per pupil funding belies what you just said. Our per pupil funding is dead last in the country. Dead last. We're the worst.
You know, while we're talking about TUSD, why don't we talk about what the chairman of the County Democrat Party said about the school board members, is that Cuevas, Stegman, and Sugiyama should all be thrown out in their elections next year, and that Mike Hicks, just on a whim, should be recalled. And then the Democrat Party chairman said that they ought to be tarred, feathered, and rode out of town on a rail. And all of this because they had the audacity to stand up to some thugs who insist that there be the kind of what I will call anti-education that's gone on in Tucson Unified School District with ethnic studies over the past several years.
The thugs are in Phoenix telling our school district and our people here what
to
do.
You ought to go to a school board.
They passed a law to outlaw a perfectly good program that actually Hoopenthal, the state school superintendent, a Republican, said got an independent group to look at that curriculum.
Gotta go, guys. Okay.
And frankly, Hoopenthal's study said it was within the law, and Huppethal disagreed and decided to go against the facts.
The program's gone, and the kids are better off for it.
We will have Dr. Mark Stegeman, the head of the TUSD Governing Board, on the Buckmaster Show on Friday with us. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging service and hanging systems. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks a lot. Stay with us on the Buckmaster Show. How should the Tucson region grow? We'll talk about Imagine Greater Tucson and an important survey they're doing. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Rescue operations have resumed in Italy in hopes of finding those still missing after that cruise ship capsized on Friday night. The operations were suspended for several hours after the vessel shifted today in rough seas, and the bodies of six people have been recovered so far, 16 others still unaccounted for. John Huntsman is now backing Mitt Romney, a man he had described as out of touch and unelectable. She campaigned against him in New Hampshire. In the aftermath of Huntsman's third-place finish in the first of the primaries, he's ending his bid for the Republican presidential nomination, and he is now backing Romney. There's another credit rating downgrade in Europe. The rating agency Standard & Poor's has lowered the credit worthiness of the Eurozone bailout fund by one notch. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this
top honor, and the inn is proud of its AAA four-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Well, Tucson area residents are being asked to make their voices heard on how our region should grow. Imagine Greater Tucson is asking everyone to take a survey that will allow residents an opportunity to influence the future of land use, transportation, and conservation in our area. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is one of the community leaders spearheading the Imagine Greater Tucson effort. Beth Walkup was the First Lady of Tucson for the past 12 years, while her husband, Bob Walkup, led Tucson City Government. Beth is the Interim Executive Director of Imagine Greater Tucson. Beth, thank you for being with us.
Well, I'm just delighted to be here.
Tell me a little bit about this concept and what you're doing with Imagine Greater Tucson. What is it?
Well, I think it's important to know that Imagine Greater Tucson came out of a lot of previous work that was done, like the town hall meetings, the four-day thing that we did couple years back. It came out of a bunch of things, trios thing. They've all done this work kind of to get at something, but one of the things that some of the leadership felt was that in looking at other regions that have tried this Imagine kind of concept is that although some of them did a kind of a top-down sort of thing, deciding what would be, that in our community it was really important to get the grassroots, for lack of a better term, the real people in our community to find out what was important to them. So IGT created this process, and that's what it is, that reaches out to the grassroots and gets their input on what we need to do to solve regional issues. And they started with a major survey that said, okay, what is important to you in our region? What do you want to keep? What don't you want to keep? And
the survey that people are being asked to take online, you think the online is probably better than the one?
Well, it's more fun.
Yes, it's, right. And that survey, how do people access that?
Well, if they want to go online to take the survey, they just can do imaginegreatertucson.org/survey. It's all Imagine Greater Tucson. It's a lot of letters to write, but .org and then survey.
And how extensive, Beth, is this survey?
Well, we found that people, because we did some focus groups, we found that people can take it in 10 minutes if they're in a hurry and they're not wanting to pull up some of the information that can expand their thinking. Or it takes 20 minutes, or it can take 30 minutes for some people that want everything, because there's a technique in it that you can hover over a word with your pointer and it'll pop up the definition of a word, like urban or mixed use.
Or low density.
Yes, all of those kinds of things are available for pop-ups if you do that. Or when we're describing four scenarios that we are asking people to look at and to go back to the initial survey, which came up with the values that the community had. So we have 9 areas of values with a total of 66 subheadings. And so people pick their values. Then they look at these four alternatives, which really, I mean, they...
Well, let me go over them, okay. Beth. One of the questions, which of the four alternatives comes closest to how you would like to see the region grow? Alternative one, trend. Alternative two, suburbs and centers. Alternative three, new centers. Alternative four, urban centers.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean to you, the trend? And
well, the trend is what happens if we keep going.
Okay.
So we've got some experts together to determine what the trends are. And if we keep growing, and somewhere along the line, we anticipate Tucson to about double in size, the Tucson region, because this is the really eastern Pima County area. And to double in size means that we would use about 200,000 more acres.
Talking trend would indicate to me a big sprawl.
It is. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and then trend two about suburbs and centers. Is that kind of where we have been, where we are right now?
It kind of is with Oral Valley and Marana and Sahuarita it's really expanding those kind of centers that exist.
And then new centers.
That's really, if you look at the map of how it was determined, they're new places that are built along major areas of transportation.
And urban centers.
Urban centers is moving much more to high density or higher density than we currently have. It's interesting to me that to put a million more people in and to implement that, we would just go to no more than 10 stories high in most new building. And it would, as you move away from the core city, it would get lower and lower.
We're talking with Beth Walkup. She is the interim executive director of Imagine Greater Tucson. Beth is urging everyone to take this online survey, imaginegreatertucson.org/survey. And Beth, you mentioned that we already, your group and others, community leaders, have come up with certain values that already are important to this area.
Right.
Generally, what are we talking about?
Well, over a category might be K-12 education, which you were just talking about in your previous show. But there's land use, there's conservation, there's thinking in terms of what our culture and our cultural arts are. There's business and jobs. I mean, it covers almost every area. The U of A is one of them. There's all of those nine areas were looked at and were, I think we didn't do U of A and we didn't do, I can't remember what one of them was, but after those were arrived at, they took those values and applied them to the four different options in the maps.
That we talked about, the four alternatives. Uh-huh. And the survey goes into transportation, for instance, what's important to you, priorities, widening existing roads, building new roads, improving, expanding the bus service, creating a regional rail system, adding new lines to the modern streetcar, bicycle infrastructure, improving that, and improving pedestrian infrastructure. So that area is covered, transportation. Another question, what is most ideal for the placement of new offices and businesses?
Yes. It's really giving people a lot of choices because sometimes when we take surveys and we're asked to choose between like these four different options, then and we say, well, we think we understand what that is. And then when or we think this would be right for the region. But then when we're given these personal choices, it changes.
Yeah. And because let's face it, there is a certain segment of the population, Beth, that would like to see the area not grow at all.
Yes. We understand that. Yeah. And we in IGT believe that that's that I can understand that as their value, but if we don't plan for something 50 years ahead of it, we can't control what it is. And I think that's the issue. I can't think of a single person that I've ever ran into that said, we got to get rid of that desert. You know, that's why we're all here, yes. Basically, you know. So if we're not going to get rid of it, how do we protect it?
Yes. Another question, which of the following is more preferable to you, a house with a smaller yard and a 20-minute commute to work, or a house with a larger yard and a 40-minute commute to work? I think that question, Beth Walkup, kind of gets to the heart of the whole suburbanization question.
Yes.
But why people choose, sometimes they choose a bigger home because it does have a bigger yard, but it may be further from work.
Yes, and I think that just recently with what's happened with the economy, people who made some of those choices are now suffering from them because
right.
their transportation costs are as much or more than their house mortgage.
Now, this survey, folks can take it online up until February 29th.
Yes.
And what happens to the information after it is accumulated?
Well, it is being compiled as we go. And in fact, when people take this survey, at the end, what we have is we can show them how they compare to all the rest of the people that have taken the survey so far, so that you get some immediate feedback about your thinking relative to the thinking of those before you.
Have other communities done this concept with the Imagine concept?
Yes. There are about 15 around the United States. The one that I think that we have looked at closest is around the Salt Lake City. It's really for the whole Utah. Is it the Wasatch Basin? I can't remember.
I think so.
Yeah. And so they started 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that came their transportation, the focus.
Well, I think this is a good idea because if nothing else, we do need to plan for the future. And that's something that I think usually comes up as a big negative about the Tucson area, that we don't do long-term planning.
Yes. Well, we're beginning.
Yes. So this is a start anyway and in the right direction. Again, if you would like to take the survey, very easy. We've gone over a couple of the questions. As Beth Walkup said, takes about 10 minutes. Really, you could probably spend a little more on it if you really
yes.
want to. It's imaginegreatertucson.org/survey. Beth Walkup, we will have you back after we get some results from the survey.
Thank you.
That'll be good. Beth Walkup with us and our regards to the mayor.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 1247, we're going to talk about King Day. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and The Voice Network. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster live line. And today, of course, is the day that the nation observes the birthday of the slain civil rights leader, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Today's events here in Tucson began with the 8:30 University of Arizona March, that march from the UA Mall to Reed Park. And I want to point out that the activities at Reed Park will be going on until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is longtime Tucson community activist Ray Clark. Mr. Clark is the Southwest Regional Vice President of the Amity Foundation and a board president of the Dragonfly Capital Campaign. Amity Foundation is a nonprofit substance abuse treatment agency. Mr. Clark is formerly the president and CEO of the Tucson Urban League, and just recently he was named to the Carondelet Foundation Board of Trustees. Ray, how are you today on this King Day?
I'm doing great, and it's good to talk to you again.
It is good to talk with you, Ray. Let's begin with, what do you think Reverend King's legacy is?
Well, number one, the impact that he had influenced the lives of all people, not only here in the United States, but internationally. Intellectual, humanitarian, a man of peace, nonviolence. He changed our society forever, in terms of people being able to better understand how we all interrelate to each other.
Did he have an impact, or has he had his teachings on your own life, Ray Clark?
Well, absolutely. There was a time in America when a lot of people were trying to decide what path to choose, and there were a lot of choices. Fortunately, enough people chose to follow Dr. King, his teachings of nonviolence and working for the good of all people, influenced me, my family, and as I said before, a whole nation.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your own background and how that some of his teachings influenced you?
Well, I was born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio. My parents here migrated to Cincinnati from Atlanta, Georgia. And every year, my fond memories in childhood include getting on a train and going back to Atlanta for the Christmas holidays. Personally, I just returned also from Atlanta for a family funeral. So I still have a lot of family in Atlanta. I remember as a little child how Atlanta was, and over the years how Atlanta changed from a small southern community to an international city. And certainly family experiences there in Atlanta certainly affect me still today.
And you saw the horrible effects of segregation.
Yes, I did. And those are memories you never forget. Although they were carried out differently in different parts of the country, in the South, it was always very, very clear where you stood. up north, a little different, but sometimes the results were the same in terms of being people being excluded. But over time, Dr. King and others made the kind of contribution that today all Americans are better off.
What causes do you think Reverend King would be fighting for today? You think perhaps addressing income inequities?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure, as he did then, his impact not only was social, but also economical. He would probably be asking that we give a greater priority to the needs of people who go to bed hungry every night in America, especially our children. I'm sure he would be advocating for fair housing, fair labor law terms as it relates to every American having an opportunity to be employed and earn a good living.
I want to get an update from you about, you were on our program a few months ago talking about the Dragonfly Capital Campaign. Update our listeners about what is this Dragonfly Campaign?
Well, number one, I'm very, very grateful to the Amity Foundation for allowing me the opportunity to continue my career in working on behalf of children and families, and in particular, poor families. Although the organization serves across the board in terms of cross-section of the community, we are in the process of entering our last year of a capital campaign to build a village in order that children can be with their families in a time of treatment and recovery for the mother or father.
Tell me about the village, Ray Clark.
Dragonfly Village will be a state-of-the-art residential center for children and families. It's all about family restoration. And if you look at all the problems in America and you had to put together a game plan for real solutions, restoring families would be a key solution to that, just like employment opportunities and better education. The restoration of families is a key solution to many of the significant problems in America and around the world.
And so the Dragonfly Village will accommodate how many families?
We'll be able to serve up to 100 individual family members, including the parents at any one time. Over the course of the year, certainly that number would increase.
And how are you doing in raising the money?
We've been very fortunate in Tucson, in the state of Arizona, and given the economic challenges, we've had to go outside the state to bring dollars into Tucson. And we've been very successful. We're very confident that we can end the campaign come May if we continue to get the kind of support that we've received thus far.
It's very difficult, of course, when there is a problem where the parents and the kids are separated, obviously. So this will allow them to at least stay together under one roof. Is that correct, Ray?
Yes, and these individuals are some of the most motivated, some of the most courageous individuals I've ever worked with throughout my entire career. One of the major motivating forces, even if a parent has lost their child, is the ability to get that child back. And in the case of Amity Foundation, over four decades, Amity has proven that not only is it possible, but people can be restored to a place of dignity and the opportunity to become self-producing, very productive citizens.
You know, you've been working, as you say, before this, you were with the Tucson Urban League, and you worked with a lot of young people. This is a really caring community, isn't it, Ray Clark?
I've had the opportunity to spend a little time in other cities. I know for a fact that Tucson is a super caring community. For example, when it comes to giving, Tucson continues to rank among very high among most cities in America.
How do you think we should observe King Day? Do you think it should be people maybe doing a day of service?
Well, I think we respect the fact that individuals and families should have the opportunity to observe King's Day in the best way they think is good for them. But certainly service to the community would be an honor that I think Dr. King would greatly appreciate. And again, the impact benefits not only one individual, not only one family, but an entire community. and an entire nation.
Ray Clark with us on the Buckmaster Show. I appreciate it. Where can folks get more information about the Dragonfly Village?
Well, folks can call us at 628-3164. They can drop by and see me at 146 East Broadway, and we'd be happy to take the time to talk with them and hopefully have an opportunity to work with them.
Ray Clark, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon. Thanks, Ray.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up on 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants. And, of course, we all know, after January 1st, what do we start thinking about? Tax season. And I can't think of a better source than Flowers, Rieger Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Michael C. Flowers will take care of all of your CPA needs this tax season. Tomorrow, Dr. Victoria Mazes for the Center for Integrative Medicine joins us. Shelley Fishman with the Money Maker Report. State Senator Ron Gould, he's the one that would like to have guns allowed on our campuses. And Hank Amos of Tucson Realty and Trust with his annual report on the commercial real estate scene. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.